This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5. And great to have in studio Dr. William Terry, a urologist and men's health expert at the University of Urology. Thanks for being here.
It's great to be here, Sean. Thanks for having me.
We populate our conversation before we even go on about just things around town, different things. We're talking about school plays. We're talking about high school and all that. I mean, you're a homeboy?
I am a homeboy. I was raised here in Mobile from the age of about two onward. Yeah. My father was a physician in the area. He was a urologist, actually. And so I went to local high school, K through 12, and did all the things here growing up. Learned to love Mardi Gras and fishing and being over the bay and riding my bike all around town all growing up.
Well, and then I look at this. At that point, okay, that's like all of us. And then you take off with this advanced education here. Kind of walk us through your training.
High school, I went to UMS Wright, and then I went up to the University of Virginia for my undergraduate studies. I actually had a strong, wonderful mentor up there who encouraged me to major in something I really was interested in a non-scientific field. So
okay.
I knew I wanted to be a doctor. I knew I wanted to pursue pre-med, but I actually got my major in religious studies.
Really? So that's good that you, at that point, they weren't telling you just, you know, that's great.
Yeah. He was a fellow pre-med guy, and he was doing a major in English. I've always been a church guy, so and had that kind of interest. I've called into the show before, actually made a couple of comments. but they had a particularly excellent program up at UVA, so I dove headfirst into that while I was doing all my organic chemistry and physics and biology.
Well, it's pretty good. You talk about working both sides of the brain there and the heart.
Trying to.
You know, while you're doing that.
Trying to.
So and so you do that residency training at UAB.
Correct. So I came from Virginia back down to University of South Alabama for med school.
Okay.
And so I spent four great years back here in Mobile, close to mom and dad, and just hunkering down, getting the MD degree. At that point, mom says, watch out, friends. He knows just enough to hurt you. So I have to go up to UAB for my residency training in urology. That includes a year of general surgery and then 4 years of urology after that.
Wow. Wow. So, I mean, it's a ton of training, but obviously it comes to our benefit as your patients here. Let's talk about that and men's health issues, right?
Yeah.
So we've talked about, you know, ED comes up as part of this discussion. That's affected. You had a stat. How many people are over 40?
It's a higher percentage than you would think. You know, I think I get 40-year-old guys in my office every week, and there's a lot of hesitancy, and it takes a lot for a guy to come in and talk about it at that young of an age, but it's not uncommon. A percentage is hard to say, but it's something
that's not unusual for somebody at 40.
It is not. And it's especially important for a guy who may be below 50 in his 40s. If they're having that problem that early, it's likely due to another medical condition that is significant and that we need to fix first before we focus on the ED part.
So you'll see this, Dr. Terry, you'll see somebody come in and, you know, I get this and we'll talk about the kind of who wants to go in and have that conversation, but they do. And you find out that this is secondary to something they need to go get looked at right then.
Absolutely. And a lot of them, you can kind of see their eyes just sort of open up and realize when I lead them through questions like, what's your family history? Has anyone in your family had a heart attack or a stroke or a cholesterol problem or diabetes? And once I start connecting the dots for them, they kind of look up and they realize that they need to go ahead and take some more steps to address this.
Wow. That's an eye opener. And for people to have that conversation, yes, it's tough, but it's even if it's not a medical condition, other than that, in itself, it's a quality of life issue.
It is. It's a big time quality of life issue. It's a very personal issue. And I respect that. All my staff respect that. And we really treat people with care and concern, and it's our everyday thing. So if you're dealing with it,
y'all seen that before, right? But it's hard. I mean, it's hard to get us guys to go to the physician in the first place, to go to the doctor for whatever.
Exactly. You know, we often diagnose guys with low testosterone during the workup. That can be a piece of it.
Okay. I hear that thrown around. Okay. I hear that, you know, low testosterone. How common is that?
Sure. It's not a direct cause of the erectile dysfunction in most men, but it can be a significant contributing factor. It's part of a standard workup for us. We check that. We check a lot of other things to make sure we're covering all the bases. But if a guy's got a really low T, low testosterone level, and he's having trouble, we fix that first. We rule out the other dangerous things. We fix that. And often that alone helps him. We talk about how if your mind's not right, other things aren't going to be right. And that's really, testosterone affects the libido, the mindset. And if it's low, the mind's not going to be quite right.
Yeah. And that's okay. This is great to hear you say as a physician, because I've heard people talk about that it's not just libido for some, it's mind. It's even beyond the bedroom.
Yeah. It's multifactorial. And so we help break that down. We help tease out those details and figure out, you know, how can we create a personalized plan to get these guys and their ED treated well?
And you're talking about this workup process. So that means you come in and you're not just going to say, okay, it's just ED. We're going to look at everything and make sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Which is good because there are things that, maybe they already have it in their mind that this is how you treat this.
Yeah.
You've got a solution before we even get to that.
We've seen so many different examples of how this can go down, right?
Mm-hmm.
I even talked to my patients about a little bit on the psychological front. You know, are you overstressed? How is your work life? How's your relationship? At least ask those cursory questions. Now, I'm not a trained psychologist or anything.
Right, but you're putting that into the formula here of what might be going on.
Absolutely. We try to take a holistic look at it, and we've got a great network of people. If that becomes a primary issue in my mind, I've got 3 or 4 guys I can refer out to, and we can get people connected to who can help them.
Okay. This is like the conversations going all the time, the stuff we're talking about with peers. The other thing I hear a lot about, and my gosh, it seems like I hear about it every 2 weeks now, is kidney stones.
Mm.
Okay. Like more people I know anymore is kidney stones.
Yeah. I say that we live in the stone belt, Sean.
Is it regional? Because it seems like I hear about it all the time.
Absolutely. I think a lot of it is our culture. We live in the South. We've got good food, good eating, a lot of meat, a lot of salt. We drink a lot of tea. We eat some good desserts with a lot of sugar.
All right. You're describing me.
Okay, yeah, exactly. So there's the cultural piece. There is the climate piece. Dr. Bill could tell us we live in a hot, hot area.
Right.
We get dehydrated in the summer. All right. Dehydration is probably the number one cause of kidney stones across the board.
Yeah. Really? Just not drinking?
Absolutely, yeah. Because the more concentrated the urine gets, the more these crystals coalesce and come together to form stones.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing is genetics. I think there's probably just some genetic predisposition to this. I know that there is. And it's just a perfect storm down here in the South.
Okay. So it's not wild that I hear about this from a lot of my peers.
And the other reason you hear about it so much, unfortunately, is because it's one of the most painful things someone can go through to pass a kidney stone naturally.
That's what has to be scared. People describe this and say, this is tough.
That's right. One of the reasons I became a urologist is because there's a really great mix of medicine and surgery. It's about 50-50.
Okay.
So I get the opportunity to treat people, to diagnose, to prescribe medicines, but then I also have the training and the opportunity to go take them to the operating room and fix the problem if it comes up like that. I love urology for that reason. I like to fix things, but I'm also okay managing things.
Right.
And both sides of that coin apply to or are relevant for kidney stone people because we got to treat them in their moment of need when they're acutely ill and hurting. But we also really have to respect the fact that they don't want to have surgery every few months. They want to stop suckers. Yeah. And keep them gone. So we can tackle both issues.
Dr. Terry, you led off talking about the stuff we eat, the dehydration before you even mentioned anything surgical. So obviously it's a very important part of this.
Absolutely. We can work up urine, talk about diet, and really every stone former is unique. They're all like special little snowflakes out there. And everyone's biochemistry is unique. We work up their urine chemistry and we craft a plan for them. Sometimes it's not easy to implement these lifestyle changes, but as soon as someone goes through the process of passing a stone, they're motivated to make some changes.
You probably have their direct attention at that point.
Yes, definitely.
So talk to people about that maybe have had a stone in the past, but want to come in and consult with you to try to make sure that doesn't happen again.
We're taking appointments. One of my areas of expertise, and we just start with a good history and physical. We do some basic labs. I look at all the imaging. I just take everything into account. And if you got some stones already there that we need to deal with, we've got 2 or 3 different ways to deal with those, especially those people that come in with stones which are too large to pass naturally. These are called staghorn stones because they fill up the inner workings of the kidney to the point where it almost looks like deer antlers, a staghorn antler. These are my mentor, Dr. Asimos at UAB, called them the great white shark of kidney stones. And that's a pretty good explanation because they can cause all sorts of problems. They're very difficult to get out. But we've got some excellent equipment at the university, an excellent team, and we do at least one of those big stones a week over there.
Wow. Yeah. So y'all have seen this. You've done this.
Yes.
All right. Somebody, let's talk about this. So people want to get with you, come in and set that appointment, whether it's an acute situation or we're trying to prevent a chronic situation there. Sure. Making that appointment with University of Urology, you specifically, Dr. Terry, what do they need to do?
You can look us up on the web. We have a website through the University of South Alabama. There's also a Facebook page. If you just type in University Urology, Mobile, Alabama, we should pop up. The University Hospital in Midtown is where we do all of our surgery and all of our procedures and where we take care of all of our inpatients. So we're consolidated at that hospital. Okay. We don't cover any other hospitals. Our office is at Dolphin Street 965 at the big glass building there.
Oh, yeah.
Right across from, I guess, the McDonald's there on Dolphin Street, the interstate. And we're happy to take your call and make your appointment. Someone at that main number, which is 660-5930, they can take care of you and help you out.
All right. Remember to ask for this man, urologist Dr. William Terry. Thanks for being here.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.